Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
Getting back to this story of Ethan Crumley that I mentioned before the break, it seems that the teachers had raised concerns about Ethan. And that's quite common, isn't it? You know, when your kid is bad, teachers, because they're the first ones to spot it, which the parents kind of ignored, which is not unusual for some parents. His parents purchased the gun, by the way, can I point out, in the house. Again, you're going to say that's mad. That's not unusual in America. So don't take that as some sort of unusual thing. It's not an unusual thing in America for, you know, people to have a gun in their house. And how any parent, I suppose, could blatantly ignore a teacher who tells them that they have serious concerns with their child, I suppose, in this case, you might agree with the judge, but it begs the bigger question. Should parents be responsible for the actions of their children? Is this one way, I suppose, we can manage the growing level of antisocial behaviour that we have with young people? And young people under 18 know that they won't get into trouble in this country if they act out. They just don't get into trouble. The worst they get is a warning. And it takes something very serious for them to get a real record. Is it time that we reprimand them in a different way by involving the parents so the parents take more responsibility? I mean, young Timmy breaks into a house, big Timmy goes down for it. I imagine that would kind of put a stop to a lot of bad behaviour. You know, if your son broke into a house and did a lot of damage, you know, that you go to jail or that you get 2 months suspended sentence or you get a big fine. Or maybe you think that would be completely unfair, that you are not your children after all and you can't be responsible. You can't watch them 24 hours a day. But I want to know what you think. Should parents be responsible in some way for the actions of their children under the age of 18? Because you are their guardian until they're 18 years of age. Let me know what you think. 087-188-0008. Now, Joe, hi.
How are things, Niall?
Good. Joe, are we responsible for the actions of our children?
Well, I heard about that case there and I listened to what the mother said on the thing, on her speech after. And she said that they were never told about the child that they had. They're saying if the child was taken home that day that it wouldn't have happened. See, are we getting the full picture? I feel, and this is my own opinion, that they're being made an example of, you know, and right or wrong, I don't know. But I fought kids, and there was one thing they used to always say to them, no matter what you do, you have to be responsible for your own actions. And in the sense that you have to take responsibility. And that child did look kind of under severe pressure. So, like,
yeah, he was clearly disturbed. Yeah, he was clearly disturbed if he took a gun to four kids at 15 years of age. Yeah.
He did. So, like, if the parents, like, the parents are responsible and the government are responsible because the government laws, they're allowed to have a gun in the house. Okay? Should the parents, if their child was that disturbed, they shouldn't be allowed, the law should be there that they shouldn't be allowed to have a gun in the house. Do you understand what I'm saying?
No, I understand, yeah. But that's never going to happen in America because you have a constitutional right to possess a gun in America.
Yes, but to see a right, that the constitutional right to have a gun. But, like, I remember a case there now, right? I had a guy walking with me one time, okay? And I used to be walking in the butcher shop. And he went back to the doctor that he was feeling depression, things like that. So he came up to me and the doctor came into the shop the following day and I said, Doctor, what's the story with just say Tom? Or I can't discuss patient,
yeah,
doctor privilege. What do you mean, says I said. Do you see where he's walking? I said. How about if your wife comes into the shop or your daughter comes into the shop and he sticks him with a knife, who's going to be responsible for this?
Yeah.
You know,
but doctors and psychologists and psychiatrists, they do have an oath they have to take that if they feel that you're a danger to anybody, including yourself, they have a duty to report it. That's the law.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he didn't.
Yeah, but they do have a duty. Like, and a doctor will often say that to you, by the way. If you're going, like, if you say, look, doctor, I need to tell you something, the doctor will usually butt in immediately and say, well, look, if you're going to tell me something that, you know, insinuates that you or somebody is in danger or hurt somebody, I have a duty to report it. And they do have a duty to report it. Yeah.
Same with your
solicitor, same with everybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Criminal Justice Act 2013, as far as I know. But here's the thing. You know, I know people who are good parents and they had like three kids and Mm-hmm. Two of them were excellent. They were well behaved, go to college, all the usual stuff, right? Do well in life. And one of them was an asshole who ended up in trouble all the time. So you're saying to yourself, well, then that couldn't have been the parents, could it? You know what I mean?
Well, I just see, and that's another thing, Neil. I've been busting to get on conversations you've been having on different nights there on the radio. But and just don't get me wrong now, but what I feel is that child, okay, do you know that case personally?
No, I don't. No, I haven't really been following. I just what was in the news, that's all.
Yeah, but that child now that gave out the two went to college and all that, the child that didn't, that caused all the trouble, then that was the baby defender that got away with blue murder.
Yeah.
And like, to see, I can't really stir the pot now, like, that the mothers of violent have been the cause of all these problems, because their their kids can't do no wrong. Their
I know, yeah, they're too
no
soft. Well, they're Irish mammies, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. And they'll go hungry for the kids, and that, and the kids then will use that as a leverage.
And you know what? I proved that here one night, myself, and I don't know whether it was Jane, my previous producer, we did a show, would you snitch on your child if they committed a serious crime of assault or rape, right? And you knew about it, but nobody else did. But they confided in you. And we had about 20 callers on that night, and nearly every woman that came on said they wouldn't, but almost every man that came on said they would.
Okay.
And that kind of proves your point, that Irish mammies are very protective over their sons.
And can I just give you another example? There were 10 of us in the family, right? My eldest brother got arrested. He won a football medal at 16 years of age. He played senior football for the club, a country club. And he came back home at 6:30 that evening. We were all around the table. And he was staggered. He drank drink out of the cup and he was half drunk. And the father was a brigade, God rest him. But didn't he catch my eldest brother that time? Lift him up against the wall. He said, don't you ever again come into your mother, he said, with the smell of drink after him. He didn't never again come into the house with drink. So, you know what I mean?
Okay, well, let me get back to the original question then. And forget about the murder in America just for the moment. That was the reason I don't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
But let's say, you know, young Timmy, 15, breaks into a house and terrorises a few people. And should Timmy's mum and dad be fined or get, you know, or be brought to court because of Timmy's behaviour?
Should they be fined? Is that going to solve the problem?
Well, maybe it might not solve the problem, but it would make the parents take things more seriously, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but you see, if that was my problem, if that was my thing, I'd solve this. And like, I never rode the hand to a child of mine. But if he'd done that, if he harmed some people or brigaded some people, I'd personally make them pay for it. Like, I maybe in the eyes of a judge, then but finding the mother and father is not the answer to that problem. Like, to dealing with the problem, and the problem is the young fella. And why is the young fella behaving like that?
Yeah,
because he'd behave like that if he's left get away with it. But where if he, you know, if he won't get away with it, he'd. You know, but finding the parents is not the answer.
Yeah.
Like.
Okay. Well, hang on a second. Let me go to David as well. David, hi. How are you?
Hi, Niall. How are you going?
There you go. Well, Joe says finding the parents is not the answer, but
I don't see how you can find the parents. The only thing you can do is make them legally liable for any damage that their children cause.
Possibly. Yeah. Like the damage to the stolen car or whatever. Yeah.
Well, absolutely, yeah, but that is what should happen. Some years ago, on the 31st of October, 2013, some hooligans from the next door village where I live, a lad came in and ripped up the hydrangea in my front garden. The police van, there was a police van parked, and they were watching, and obviously they arrested him. This lad did it at the behest of some friend of his.
Yeah.
Now, on that particular day, my mother had died at 12:30 that day, and she'd actually given me that plant some years earlier
so it was sentimental to you, yeah.
Yeah, but it was just unfortunate that the lad chose the 31st of October to 2013 to rip it out of the ground. I was in the pub because just sort of raising a glass to mum's memory. But the uncle of the boy brought him round to the house some about a week or so later, and to talk to me and to say sorry and all that stuff. Mm. And I just said to the lad, you know, you need to think about your friends and your influences. And you're not mixing with the right people, quite clearly.
But that was a good thing for the uncle of the lad to bring him around to the house.
It was very good of the uncle. Yeah. It'd be interesting that the mum or the father didn't do it. I don't know what the situation is, but back there. But that was the situation. Actually, there was something very interesting. I was listening to Thomas Sowell. I don't know if you ever listened to.
I've listened to some of his stuff.
He's amazingly interesting.
Very interesting. I think he's dead, isn't he? He is dead.
No, not yet.
He must be in his 90s, then, is he?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. He's one of the great thinkers of modern time. And he was. I was on this point of guns, gun ownership, and one of the things that he said on this podcast thing that I was listening to the other night was that in America you have fewer burglaries and break-ins because people have guns at home than say, if you compare it to say the UK. The UK has a much higher burglary rate than they do in the States, because obviously you could be met by a hail of bullets.
Yeah, but there is advantages to gun ownership and disadvantages. I think the disadvantages outweigh the advantages, personally. And I'm listening to Thomas Sowell a lot of the time, by the way, and he's a very interesting man. I know he's kind of heavily influenced by another guy, which I listened to years ago as well, was a guy called Milton Friedman. But in saying that, I understand the point he's making, but should you, like, you do have a legal responsibility for your child up to the age of 18 by law.
Absolutely, but what gets me is that there is no... That even today, the courts will not impose a fine against the boy and get the parents to underwrite it, which is what should happen.
But see, there are a lot of good parents out there, right, who, for whatever reason, their kid, you know, turns out to be a misfit. Yeah. But there are a lot of, I would say, the majority of kids who turn out bad is because of bad parenting. Not all of them.
Because of the bad parenting. Also, I would suggest that if a kid is involved in a GAA club or a rugby club or something like that, I would suggest, certainly my experience of rugby clubs, is that if a lad is out of order, the rest of the team will jump on him.
Yeah.
And bring him back in line and keep him in line. And that sort of, because of people sort of sitting in their rooms playing video games, they're not involved in teams. They're not involved in this community.
I mean, there was the incident there in Cherry Orchard last year where the Garda car got the bricks thrown at it and they were ramming it in the stolen car. Do you remember that incident in Cherry Orchard, right? And I was looking at the video of that, and I don't know whether yourself or Joe have seen the videos of that. And there's a group of thugs, like 100 of them, on the green, and they're all aged between 10 and 15 years of age. But there was parents there as well, standing looking. Yeah. And some of these little kids who were roaring, "Go on, ram the Garda," they were only about 12 or 13 years of age. Now, their parents have to know where they are. I'm sure their parents know they're that group of people that were doing that. You know, I mean, what parent would be happy about that situation?
Without knowing the situation, you've got parents that were typically, both parents are now working, which is half the problem. The children are not in school.
And unsupervised, unsupervised.
Where are they between parents coming home? You know, the people who look after the kids, unless it's the grandparents or whoever, they're not getting proper guidance. They're not getting proper oversight. This whole sort of idea of having two holidays a year and therefore both parents have to work to pay for the two holidays a year. This is where it all leads, and this is the breakdown of society. There is no community spirit anymore. Certain groups. We know for a fact in the UK there's been various polls done, and none of the Muslim fraternity would job somebody in if they were if they knew that somebody was out of order and needed, and the police needed information. Community ethos anymore.
But here's the other thing, and let me just come back to Joe. Joe, you mentioned you had kids, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, how many children have you got, Joe?
How many kids?
Yeah.
Four only.
Okay, four only, that's enough. Anyway, people have often said to me, oh, no, well, you know, when they're 13 or 14 years of age, you don't know where they are 24 hours a day. You know, you can't be watching them all the time. And I'm thinking back to when my kids were kind of 13 or 14 or 15 years of age. And you might think I'm lying to you, but I knew exactly where they were all the time.
Correct. Absolutely. Yeah.
But do you know what? Can I go back a bit further there, Niall? Like, go back to the inner city there in Dublin and Cork and Belfast and all that, back in the 60s and the 70s, the 50s, 60s and 70s. You had a boxing club in every parish, and like, the good that they done, like, you know, they're not a fraction of the boxing clubs they are now, like, and what would it cost to run them? What would it cost to set them up, like? And that's where young fellas can get rid of their what's the word, bro? You know, that take out their frustration, to get rid of that, all that energy they have. See, a lot of it is boredom. See, they're sitting in front of these PlayStations and all that bloody thing, and you know, where if they were stuck in a boxing club, like,
I buy that argument to some degree, and I agree with David. I think kids are not getting enough exercise nowadays. They're not burning off the energy, particularly young boys, right? But I do buy that to some degree. But if I go back when I started doing talk radio, you know, going back 25, 30 years ago, there was no PlayStations and there was no Xboxes, and yet we were still covering stories of stolen cars at night and groups of thugs beating each other up. And so it was still kind of happening then, maybe not to the same extent, but it was still happening.
It was still happening, but they weren't the kids that were in the GAA clubs, and they weren't the kids in the boxing clubs, and they weren't the kids in the rowing club.
And Niall?
Yeah, Joe, go ahead.
Can I say one thing there? Like, I'm the same age as you now, Niall, and I'm going out there, and I never got stuck in a fight. And I broke up a lot of fights, and I got slaps into the ear and all that. But back in old time, it was knuckles, like, it was bare, not bare, but it was, like, if we used the boot, you would have lost the low, like. And that, like, you know, so, the night was just in more... fighting over women, I suppose, there, if you knocked off another
fellow. Yeah, well, I know. Sure, I remember when I worked in the nightclub industry, 90%, we figured out that 90% of the fights in the nightclub were usually over a woman. Well, hang on, well, you're looking at my board. Okay, let me just go to Paul. Hi, Paul, how are you? 90% of the fights in the nightclub were usually... Oh, Paul is listening to the radio in the background. Paul, are you there?
Me?
Yeah, you...
It's that Noel, is it?
Paul, will you do me a favour? Will you turn off your radio?
I'm just after doing that. No, somebody else did it.
All right, okay. Go ahead, Paul. What do you want to say?
No, you tell me what you want me to say.
That's not kind of how it works, Paul. But do you think parents should be responsible for their kids' actions?
Hang on a second, I'm just having to light my smoke.
Oh, Jesus Christ. This could only happen on live radio, lads, couldn't it? I mean, you know what I mean? Paul! It's live radio. Do you want to go and have your dinner or something while you're talking to us as well? Or what do you want to do?
No. My dinner's in the microwave and it's...
The microwave. It's in the microwave. Okay. So, Paul... Yeah. Should parents be responsible for their kids?
A parenting, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, my parents brought me up, and let's cut to the chase.
Yeah, cut to the chase if you could very quickly, Paul, because you're not going to last too long, I don't imagine. Go on.
Yeah, you cut to the chase. My parents brought me up, and they were responsible for me.
Yeah.
The what's happening now, it's just a different generation, and the parents are not responsible for what the kids do. They don't look after them. They don't know how to look after them. And if I did anything wrong, my mother... and father, and chastised me for that.
Yeah.
So it's simple. It doesn't need to be complicated.
So you reckon parents are not disciplining their children properly anymore?
Not anymore. They're not. I see it.
And do you have kids, Paul? Have you got kids?
I see it around my area, and if I did that wrong, my neighbours would come and say he was a bold boy, and I'd be chastised for that. So it's as simple as that. It doesn't need to be complicated.
And you have kids, do you, Paul?
I'm not admitting to that.
It's not a trivia, Paul. There's nothing to be ashamed of if you have children.
Well, it's just that there'd be a lawsuit out against me if I admitted that, you know.
Well, would there?
So I can't. I'm not admitting it on radio now.
Oh, right. You're not admitting it on radio that you have children.
Yeah.
Is there something wrong with having kids, or? I'm just curious. I'm just really curious now, Paul.
Listen, guess. It's a black or white with me.
David, did you know where you're... You have a child, David, don't you?
I do, yeah. I'm a 16-year-old. No, I don't. Her mother and I are barely on speaking terms. It's very, very tense.
Complicated, yeah, okay.
There's been numerous court cases.
Okay, I don't want to know about all that. Okay, but you do have a child, 16-year-old.
I do, and I would love to know where she is.
Oh, okay, But I can't go into that on the air. Obviously, that's a private matter.
That's a separate situation.
Okay, but do you believe that every parent should know where their 15-year-old is?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
It is something that tears me apart that I don't. But there we go. That's a separate issue.
Yeah. But this idea that parents will say, oh, you can't be with them 24 hours a day. You know, they tell you they're going around to their friend's house at 14 and they don't. They go somewhere else.
But if you've brought somebody up to be that deceptive and dishonest, then that's your fault.
Okay, that's a fair point. Let me just go to Jerry as well. Jerry, hi, how are you?
Hiya, Niall, how are you?
Good. Jerry, back to parents being responsible. Do you think at what age does that responsibility stop?
The law, I think, as far as I know now, I could be wrong, they keep changing it. I think it's 18. Mm-hmm. Under 18 is like a minor. I know the courts work like that. If an offence committed, they're considered juveniles under 18. But like, you know, most 14-year-olds have a conscience and have cop on. They know right from wrong. Actually, in fact, 4-year-olds know right from wrong. You know, they're only 14. It depends on what the child has done. I think, you know, what I mean, the child is bold. You're going to chastise them, but if the child is completely out of order and maybe malicious or has malice or, has bad intent, then I think, it becomes a more serious matter and the parent has to kind of really step in and sort it out. But parents can't be 24/7 on their kids. They can't be with them all the time, you know, so you have to kind of allow a certain amount of freedom for a child to grow up and to know right from wrong. And sometimes it would be teachers, it would be the other kids that they hang around with, it would be kind of peers that would kind of point him in the right direction. So I think, the child himself has his conscience and knows right from wrong.
Do you have children yourself, Jerry?
I have two grown children.
And how old are they? How old are they now?
They're 37 and 35.
Okay, you don't sound that old. You don't sound that old, Jerry. Anyway, so when...
No, I'm a grandfather now. I'm a grandfather.
Oh, good luck to you. All right, so when your kids were younger, when they were kind of 14 or 15 years of age, do you think if one of them committed, a bad crime, let's say, one of them went out and assaulted an elderly person or stole a car and ran somebody over, and thankfully, I'm sure they didn't do anything like that, but if they did, do you think the guard should be knocking at your door saying, well, hold on, you're coming to court too, you'll get a fine, you'll get a charge for not being a responsible parent, and you go, well, hold on for a second, I didn't know that's what they were doing, I had no idea where he was gone, or, God, why am I responsible? He's a good kid apart from that, and... Do you think you should be responsible?
Not in the eyes of the law. Like if the police come knocking on your door because your child is out of order, that's the police really giving you a warning and really telling you to toe the line and to be more responsible for the child. But if, for example, the child has been in good behaviour and been good all along, goes out and stays in the car, as you say, then it becomes a crime. Then it becomes the police involvement. Then it becomes a much more serious matter. And the parents should really, at that stage, come on board more so. But the parents cannot be responsible for their children out of their care. If the child goes off, with another kid his own age and decide to, say, rob a car, you cannot be responsible for that. And if you've brought up your children right and, you know, and have taught them...
But isn't that the argument if you've brought your children up right? And a lot of parents will say, well, I did bring them up right. I don't know what happened or where I went wrong. Because, you know, my other two kids are fine, but this lad or this girl, you know, just turned into a rebel, went haywire. Start hanging around with the wrong people and, you know, doing drugs or whatever. And that's what happens sometimes.
That is what happens. You're right. You see, the situation arises when it goes wrong. But most kids are okay. Most kids are fine. But there's going to be kids out there that, through no fault of the parents, will do wrong, will commit crimes. Mm-hmm. Now, if the parents seem to not care and not kind of say, oh, it's not my baby, it's not my responsibility, go talk to the teacher, go talk to the correction officer or whatever, and dismisses the whole situation, then it becomes a different matter. The parents are then, I think, more liable. And that's where the courts or the guards can step in and say, look, you're out of order here. You're not even taking responsibility. It's like when somebody goes to court and they look away from the judge. They have no respect for the judge, no respect for the jury. You know, that's the type of person that they are, and they need to be dealt accordingly. Mm-hmm. And if parents adopt that attitude and adopt a kind of devil-may-care attitude, oh, he's 14 now or he's 16 now, leave him away. I've washed my hands of him. I'm tired of him. Then it becomes a different matter altogether. But the parents genuinely has, you know, what's the word, cares for the child and cares for the things he's doing wrong and wants to correct the situation, then they shouldn't be responsible. They're playing ball with the authorities, which is a good thing. But there are parents out there, and I'm sure, you know, we've all read the papers where parents have just kind of disowned the child.
Yeah, abandoned the responsibility. Yeah, gave up. Yeah,
exactly.
But I mean, this story in America, and I know that's why we started talking about it. I don't know whether you've heard the story, this 15-year-old who went to a school with a shotgun and killed four students, and he wounded, by the way, several others as well. But the school had warned the parents that he was a bit of a misfit and that they were concerned about him. Now, the parents had a gun in their house. Now, people say, oh, well, if the parents had a gun, it's their fault. There's nothing unusual about parents having a gun in America. That's quite common, by the way. So that's, you know, we have to take that, you know, as it is. That's just, it's quite common for every household to have a gun in America. So the kid takes the gun and goes to the school and shoots the kids. Now, the parents, he got life in prison, and the parents were now given 10 and 15 years, respectively, for involuntary manslaughter because they didn't intervene in the child's bad behaviour.
Yeah. Well, you see, the judge and the jury would have come to that conclusion through all the mitigating circumstances of the case. Which obviously just didn't, because they had a gun in the house, didn't mean they're guilty. But they obviously didn't take any corrective action towards the child. Maybe they were warned before. As you said, the school probably did tell the parents this child is out of order, and they didn't do anything about it. Then they are culpable. Then they become part of the crime, part of the whole equation.
Yeah.
But if they weren't warned or if they did all they could do, I don't think they should be culpable.
Hmm. I mean, you could argue the same, like if a school, you know, kind of expelled a young fella at 14 or 15 and said to the parents, listen, you know, we can't deal with him. And the parents say, well, we're trying our best with him, you know, he has problems and, blah, well, you know, we can't deal with him. And that kid goes out that night and steals a car and kills somebody. Are those parents responsible? There is an argument that sometimes yes, but other times maybe no. And they say this is a landmark case in America. It was the first time it's ever happened, by the way. And the judge seemed to be using it as some sort of example because the judge said in her closing statements, she said she was doing this to act as a deterrent and it reflected on the parents' failure to stop the attack. She also said the parents are not expected to be psychic, but these convictions are not about poor parenting. They concern acts that could have halted a runaway train. In other words, if the parents had intervened in his bad behaviour before it got to this point, that maybe he wouldn't have done it.
That's very true. You know, as I say, if they're going to do time for his crime, well, there's obviously, as I say, a lot of evidence to point that they didn't take any action. And they were part of the whole situation. You see, America is so far removed from our society. The gun thing is a big thing over there.
Oh, yeah.
You have a right to bear arms. Yeah. We don't have that. Now, we've changed laws. I only heard there some chap in Tala, I think, took on a burglar there the weekend. And, you know, brought him to hospital. That was very nice of him to do that. But I think the law has changed where he won't be culpable because that farmer down the country did the same thing.
That's right.
A couple of years ago, they changed the laws to suit that. No, I know I'm diverting.
You're allowed to use reasonable. Well, the law says you're allowed to use reasonable force.
Reasonable force to protect your family and to protect your house.
Yeah, no, whereas in America, the law says in America you can use deadly force.
Yeah, so it's a lot different, in fairness.
Mm.
And I wouldn't like it to get to the stage here where we have that, you know, everybody bearing arms. I wouldn't like that. I think the country would totally change and wouldn't be the nice place we have to live in.
Okay, well, hold on. Well, let's stay there for a second. Let me go to John. Stay there, Jerry. John, hi.
Good evening. How are you?
Good evening. John, do you believe parents should go to jail or be fined or whatever for the actions of their child?
Well, you kicked us off with the story from America, right?
Yeah.
And I think part of the decision for the jail, the parents was, and I think I'm right in this, the fact that they had a firearm in the house and they failed to secure the firearm.
That's right.
If they had the firearm secured, this guy wouldn't have got his hands on the firearm, right? Simple as that. So that's why I think that the judge lost the rag with him and how they got 15 years. And rightly so. Because in this case, like, I mean, obviously, whatever about his behaviour at school, and either they didn't pick up on it or didn't want to pick up on it, the fact that they had a gun lying around the house, like, I mean, they must have some idea of whether he was moody or depressed or whatever. But to leave a firearm with complete access to somebody that age, like, they deserve the sentence.
But there has been many cases in America where children have shot people using their parents' firearm, and the parents have never been sent to jail. So this particular case is the first of its kind.
Yeah, I think, and possibly rightly so, because I think it might be a big wake-up call now to other parents out there where there are firearms in the house, that if they're not secured and something similar like this happens, we could be heading off and our life will be over, our jobs are gone, everything is gone, probably lose our home, marriage will be destroyed. So basically your life is over one shit decision. Now, I know a guard here in Cork, but he's a retired now, but he was working in a part of the city. And this young fella was coming to the attention of the guards with people ringing in and giving the same name. And they would rebuke him, the guards, and when they'd see him on the road, they'd get out of the squad car and they'd talk to him. And eventually the guard that fed up with it, he said, look, this guy is going to end up in trouble. So he went up and he knocked at the door and the father came out and he explained and he said, look, we've come across your son now. He said, it's low level stuff at this stage, he said. But if he continues like that, it won't remain at low level, he said. This guy will be standing in front of a judge, your son, and he will possibly be starting his criminal career behind bars, right? Possibly might last for a long time. He said, would you ever take him in hand? And the man turned around, he said, fuck off, he says, and get off my property. That's what he said to the guard. Now, why would you do with an asshole like him?
I know. See, but this is the problem. Some parents don't care. Now that any normal parent would say to the guard, "Really? Oh, yeah. Look, oh, thank you very much, guard. I really appreciate
Jesus
the opportunity."
Christ, yeah. I mean, most people would go down there and say, "Jesus, we wonder where he was going on. Thanks so much for doing this." And if the young fellow was in the house, they'd probably drag him out and they say, "Is this right? Are you bringing the gas to the store?" Like when I was growing up, if I brought the gas to the door, Jesus of Nazareth, I wouldn't be alive now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he clearly was irresponsible as a parent. But do you have a responsibility? If you have a kid who's 14 and, you know, he says to your ma or dad, I'm going around to my friend's house, and then he arrives home in the back of a Garda car, stealing a car and knocking someone down, do you think you should be responsible?
Well, if it happens, we'll say once, like the situation you just outlined there now, right? I think there should be a holistic approach then. You should get the community guard involved. You should get the social services involved. Everyone sits down with the parents then, like even bring the school on board if it comes to that, right? And explain then, like, how we go forward from here. But if there's a situation then that the parents don't heed this and don't take notice, like, I mean, and work with the authorities, like, and work with their own child, and if this guy keeps coming to the attention of the guards again, and the parents were told at the start, like, and know about it, or you would then find the parents, like.
Yeah. Well, okay. Let me go to Cathy as well. Cathy, hi. How are you?
Hi, Niall. A few minutes ago, you were mentioning the kids in Ballyfermot that were swearing and roaring at the police.
Yeah. Cherry Orchard, yeah.
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 Yeah. If their parents had been fined for that, those kids wouldn't be doing that again, would they?
There's always an argument. Yeah, the parents take things more seriously if it's going to hit them in the pocket. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Mm. And to be quite honest, what sort of parents would have kids of 10 and 12 out watching while people were going up and down the road like that anyway.
I was a reporter years ago, Kathy, for another radio station, and I was sent up to Tallaght. There was a fight between two factions on each side of the Belgard Road, right? Or not the Belgard Road, the main road out towards Jobstown. And they were throwing rocks across the road at each other, these two gangs. And there was a young fella, I'd say he was 8, and he had a Molotov cocktail in his hand. You know what that is?
Oh, for God's sake.
Yeah. Yeah.
Alcohol.
No, Molotov. No, a Molotov cocktail is a bottle with petrol in it and a rag that you set fire to it, like a firebomb. And he was about
8.
And he was about 8 years of age.
No, he wouldn't
what sort of parents? Did he have?
And that was 10 o'clock at night. That was about 10 o'clock at night.
Oh. Wouldn't you love to find out what happened to him?
He's probably in jail now. It was about 20 years.
I did. Yeah.
So well, that's what I'm saying. There are bad parents. Clearly, he had bad parents. Clearly.
But a lot of kids have bad parents. Parents haven't got the time these days to even talk to their kids. The kids come in and it's straight onto the phone. The parents are on the phone. I don't think people should be having kids in this day and age if they don't want to bring them up, talk to them and socialise with them.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very true.
Yeah, I think, you know, I do agree with one of the lads said earlier on. I think social media and PlayStations have a lot to do with the boredom of children. You know, and lack of social interaction.
If
your kid is hanging around with people, it's up to the parent to find out what sort of people they're hanging around with. I mean, we didn't go through the pain of childbirth and, you know, worrying would the baby be all right and all that sort of thing for the kid to end up hanging around with scumbags.
So are parents ultimately always responsible? So in this case, well, forget about even this case. If your kid goes out at 15 and commits a serious crime and beats up, you know, somebody or rapes a girl or beats up an old lady or breaks into a house, do you think you should be fined as a parent for him doing that?
Yeah, definitely, because there's no reason that if the kid was being looked after properly and spoken to properly and brought up properly, that would certainly not happen. Nobody goes out and decides to break into someone's car and drive it or go out and rape somebody that has been brought up properly. I know people are going to say, yeah, they do. I don't think they do.
No.
Yeah, sorry, John.
Yeah, look, you see the whole thing, here we go again, like this modern philosophy, like this guy Dr. Spock, do you remember him in America years ago?
Yeah.
He admitted after he got an R wrong, he said, you should be your child's friend, you should never chastise, be raised in any way, belittle your children, you know, or be harsh with them in any way. And then when he had all the damage done years after, he said he got it all wrong. Like this idea that you're your child's friend, you'll always be the parent, even your kid, your son or daughter in their late 40s. And if you see they're messing up their lives, it's incumbent on you to point that out. Not a moment, they're 15.
Yeah. Yeah, no, they are always your children, no matter what age they are.
Yeah, always. Your children. Yeah.
I get that. But there does come a point, John, in the lives where you're not really able to make a difference because they have to make their own decisions in life.
Well, this is it, but I mean...
You're not responsible for the decisions when they're 40.
No, you're not, but I mean, you can advise them. I mean, if you don't stand back, they can see them fecking up their lives, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but once they're under 18, you technically are responsible for their decisions.
Oh, you are, 100%. Look, you know, we had a massive joyriding epidemic here going back to the 80s in the part of town, right?
Yeah.
And it was on every single night, and they were tearing up, doing handbrake turns and everything, skids all over the place, and the parents just be all clapping them and cheering them.
I know. Actually, I seen that. Stuff. That was happening in Tala back in the 1990s as well, the early part of 2000. It became a thing, you know, and parents would be out there at 9 o'clock at night while the cars were milling up and down the road.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
So why didn't the police go to their houses then?
Some of these areas, unfortunately, Kathy, you know as well as I do, what happens is they become no-go areas and it's just not worth the guards' while because it just creates more of a problem when the guards go in. And I understand that too.
No, there's a certain group in Cork now as well, and they're in ethnic status now, like, so you know who I'm talking about.
Mm.
And like there's a big, huge American complex on the part of the city, right? Everyone know what I'm talking about now. That implies about 6,000 or 7,000 people. And like they're causing havoc there. Like, I mean, they're throwing stones up on top of the cars that are parked belong to employees. They're riding horses in and around the car park, nearly knocking people down. Like, And the girls basically don't go near them, like, because the girls are afraid of them.
I don't know whether it's always fear. I've said that in the past too. And then I've spoken to guards about it. And there is a strategy involved in that, because sometimes, you know, driving a guard a car into that vicinity or those type of situations can inflame things and make things even worse.
Yeah, but like when you have people genuinely protesting in like downtown or whatever, there's guards all over the place.
I know. It seems unfair.
I told you that story before during the epidemic there. There was a funeral there of the sitting group up in the north side of Cork. There was over 300 people when there was no one supposed to be at funerals. And at the same time, downtown, the Debenhams workers were fighting for their rights and the guards took their names, yet there wasn't one name taken from these people. Why? They weren't going to go into a crowd of 300. They'd get the shit beat out of them.
Oh, no, I covered that on the show, I remember, at the time during COVID-19, particularly one of the Debenhams protests. They were all being arrested. It was in the back of Parnell Square somewhere there, the back of the Attic Centre, I think.
Yep.
And on the same weekend, there was a Black Lives Matter protest in town with thousands of people at it, walking down O'Connell Street, and nobody was arrested.
There was no names taken.
No names taken. And they were the times when you weren't meant to go outside your 6K zone and all that kind of carry on. Well, that's got off on a tangent. So anyway, Cathy, you believe they're responsible. Jerry, you're listening to Cathy there. Sorry, Mick, I'll be with you a second. You've been listening to Cathy, you know, and she says, absolutely, if your kid robs a car and knocks somebody down or whatever, you're responsible. You're the parent. You should be fined.
Well, again, it's back to what I said earlier on. If it's found that the parents are totally irresponsible and take no care of the children and don't deny anything that's going on, the parents are then responsible. But the parents cannot be there 24/7. As well as that, the guards can't be there 24/7. The guards, as we talk about now, have a totally different job than they had, say, 30 or 40 years ago. There was respect back in those days, 30, 40 years ago, of guards. You know, you didn't kind of...
Well, there was a fear of the authority, wasn't there? Yeah.
There was a fear of the authority. You know, there's all the whole thing has changed, as we spoke about there with social media. Social media, in my books, has caused an array of problems in the whole, in society, and in general, not just kids, 14-year-olds, but in parents and guardians and most people around with phones are in a different place. They're in France. They're on Facebook. They're on whatever apps they have on their phone. They're not really listening to what's going on around them. And as Cathy said, you know, parents are now engaged with their phones. Put the PlayStation on for the kids. Give the kid a phone at 12 when they make their confirmation, which seems the kind of age that they come to get a phone. And then the kids are off in their bedroom or they're off with their friends and they're looking up things that's two clicks away from porn sites, two clicks away from things they shouldn't be looking at. And no one's keeping an eye on that.
Yeah.
And again, the guards can't be there 24/7. The guards have an awful job as it is. You know, the guards have been tried now for doing so-called wrongdoings.
Yeah.
Doing their job.
Yeah.
I won't get into that now at the moment. But that's what's happened. Yeah, the guards are afraid. Yeah, we saw the riots in town.
They're involved in political policing.
They are. The whole thing has changed.
They have no problem with that, doing political policing where they shouldn't be there all. Putting up what they've done today, yesterday, putting up big massive barriers. I say the seas of democracy. And
John, I was actually there yesterday and I was walking around. It was a beautiful day, by the way, around Stephen's Green yesterday. And I went down. I was going down to take a few pictures of the doll, whatever else. There was a lot of tourists around, by the way, as well. And I thought it was disgraceful to see those barriers. And no matter which side you went to, be it coming in from Buswells, coming in from Nassau Street, coming in from Stephen's Green or Merrion Square, there were barriers at least 200 yards from the Dáil in every direction. You could not get in. It was like an exclusion zone. It was horrendous. It was for what? There was no one there. There were no protests. There was a couple of people from People Before Profit hanging around shouting and roaring. Yeah. They weren't doing very much. But there was no big protests or anything. And all it was, there was loads of tourists. I felt so sorry for them. And I could see them saying to the guards, can we not just come and take a photograph of the government buildings? No, sorry.
But the whole idea of that, that's to strike fear into people that we won't protest anymore. We must move to China or North Korea. I mean, and those new barriers, like you see, the way they're set up, they're different to the old style barriers.
Oh, yeah, you can't push them down.
No.
Okay, well, let me go to Mick. There's a whole other argument. We'll do that another night, by the way. Mick, hi, how are you?
How are you doing, mate? How's things?
Good, Mick. I've got about 2 minutes here. Whose fault is it? Parents? Should they get the blame?
Yes, to a certain extent they should, yeah. Every parent should know where their kids are, regardless. what age they are, up to the legal age of 18. Once they're under the roof, they have a responsibility to know where their kids are at all times.
And do you accept it? Do you accept the line from some parents that you can't be with them 24 hours a day?
No, I do not.
No, okay.
Not at home. I know where my kids are. Even though I'm not at home, I don't work, but I know where they are. And yep. I know if they want to go anywhere, they come to me.
Yeah.
I'll say yes or no. You know, it's different for me. I'm in the countryside. But for people in town, cities, yes, parents should know where they are. And problem is, nowadays, compared to 10, 15, 20 years ago, or when I was a young lad, there is absolutely no respect. The younger generation, the young kids of today, have absolutely no respect for anybody. Because, number one, they know if they get into trouble, they get into as much trouble as they want up to the age of 18, and then they're tried or they're adults.
Yeah.
And the vast majority of them then will say, oh, well, hold on now, I want to go abroad, I may just clean up my act here and go about the business. And then they start becoming proper people. But then you have the minority of people that are just scumbags for the rest of their lives. But yes, I believe the kids, whoever has kids, wherever they are, regardless of cities, countryside, no matter what it is, the parents have a right to know where they are, what they're doing, who they're hanging around with.
So if your kid, so if your 15-year-old young fella is a scumbag, is that your fault?
To a certain extent, yes.
Hmm.
To a certain extent, because number one, he didn't listen to his me. We'll use me as the example. He didn't listen to me. He's hanging around with the wrong people. And that's my fault for not directing him to stay away from the wrong end of the people, put his act together, put up his shoulders, and be a good boy.
And getting back to the original story, you know, the one that we talked about in America there with the 15-year-old kid who killed 4 people and injured 7 others. Because, you know, the parents had been warned their kid was a bit wayward. Now, the parents had now gone to jail for 10 years, 10 and 15 years. Was the judge right to put them in jail?
Absolutely, 100%. Because
yeah.
I don't know much, I didn't hear much about the case now, to be quite honest. I'm only listening to you about. Number one, they brought a firearm into a house. It should have been, at very minimum, in a strong box, locked away, with the kid's keys hidden from everybody bar the user, the license holder of the gun. Just parents were told by the teachers and possibly, I don't know, guidance counselors saying in the school that this lad's going off the rails, you may help us. There's plenty of outlets for help for people that are for the likes of that young lad that was going to one side. The parents didn't want to listen or didn't care one or the other. They're still responsible. He's only 15 years of age. Now, he should, but at that time, he knows right from wrong. But if there is a little thing wrong with him, the parents should have picked up long before the teacher said that, and go get the proper help that chap needed.
And you agree with that, Cathy, the parents should have gone to jail?
Yeah, definitely.
Mm.
That gun shouldn't have been so accessible to someone of 15.
I would agree normally, but we're talking about America here. You know what I mean? It's quite normal for people to have guns in America in their home.
It's regardless.
Yeah, but they lock them up.
No, I know.
They lock them up.
Well, they're meant to be locked up, yeah. They're meant to be locked up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, real people, real opinions. Nighttime Talk with Niall Boylan.
Ireland's classic hits radio.